The human spirit is unconquerable. We are individuals and we are sovereign, born with unlimited potential, gifted from our creator. Our mission is to break free from the systems that bind us.
I volunteer as tribute.
We strive for peace and prosperity and overcome all challenges, roadblocks, and obstacles. We are empowered because we think for ourselves and we act for ourselves. We are self-reliant and independent, but guided by the wisdom of those who share our values.
What possible difference can I make?
There is no government, no ruler, nor ideas that are able to stop us. We are driven to succeed because we seek political freedom, financial freedom, and spiritual freedom.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
This is Mike Corbell, and you are listening to The Invictus Mind.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Invictus Mind podcast. This is your host, Mike Corbell. Today, I have a shorter episode for you, but because I do want to stay consistent and provide you two episodes a week, you get another solo episode from me today. I will still be providing interviews for the listeners who prefer that type of format. In fact, just last night, I recorded my very first episode in almost a month with another guest, and I will be featuring Adam Patrick, rising star in the libertarian podcast world, if you want to call it that, and you can check him out on my next episode. But before we get into my topic for today, I do want to briefly make mention and promote my new favorite network, and that is the Nomad Network. This is the place to check out if you are liberty-minded and want to make friends with like-minded individuals, or if you're an entrepreneur, want to be an entrepreneur, or in a position where you just want to learn new skills, come up with ideas for side hustles, or want to escape the negative influences of other social media channels. The Nomad Network is not just another social media site, but it is a community with good people who all desire to improve themselves. The best part is that it is free to join, and I can already tell that some of the people in this network will one day be very good friends of mine. In any case, this month I am promoting it, and I'm hoping I get some of you to join as well. You know, the unique thing about this network is that the person who designed it definitely wants to incentivize people who are posting content or sharing content or participating, as well as inviting others to check it out. So you can go to www.nomadnetwork.app. Again, it's www.nomadnetwork.app. You do have to include the www. Or you can just follow the link I'll provide in the show notes so I can get credit for you hanging out with us. All right, on to the next thing. You know, I've been thinking about how I want to incorporate my professional experience into this show. Of course, if you've been listening to me for a while, then you know that I am a 15-year veteran in the financial services industry. I have mentioned this a bunch of times, and especially when I've appeared as a guest in other people's shows. But when I started the Invictus Mind podcast, I did have some reservations about discussing financial topics personally. For one, because in the financial industry, there are certain liability issues regarding what I can and cannot speak about. The broker-dealer I work for example, and the regulatory departments within FINRA and the SEC has very strict compliance standards regarding what they consider communication with the public. This includes any time I host public presentations, if I advertise in social media or in some other kind of printed media, if I speak on the radio or in a podcast, or in any way come across as a person who could be seen as someone giving advice. These people want a full disclosure about what I say, who I say it to, and even in rare situations, a list of people in the audience. Of course, that is near impossible on a podcast or on a radio program, but even for financial shows that you do hear, they all have to go through red tape just to be able to publish any kind of communication. I really wanted nothing to do with that, but I was told that if I play investigative reporter, then I can ask all the questions I want to of my guests, and I'm not personally held to any kind of liability for what is discussed. Of course, I have invited a few financial professionals on this show, and hopefully they have provided some value to you. You can go back through the catalog and search for them. Since I can't remember what numbers they are, you're going to be on your own. Now, full disclosure, I did make the decision to terminate my securities license, so I no longer fall under the jurisdiction of any of those entities, so I'm not at risk of losing my license, but I will say this. Anything I do speak about in the future is still not to be considered advice. These are not recommendations. They are concepts, ideas, and general principles that should be brought to licensed professionals that are approved by the state for trying them on your own. I want to make sure that none of you all can sue me when things don't work out the way hoped for. Okay, so I realize that some of you might be asking why I decided to give up my securities license. And yes, that does mean that a significant percentage of my income on client appointments will be left on a table. Not that any of you really care how much I earn or anything. But not only does this mean that I can speak much more openly about money and investments, I'm also able to invest in cryptocurrencies and earn income from multiple sources that I do not have to disclose to the broker. Yes, my firm did not allow me to do anything with crypto. I couldn't mine it. I could not own it. I could not even hold it in an exchange like Coinbase. I could only have money in what is called a registered investment with the broker. Now, don't get me wrong. I do have access to the best of my industry and still have money in various accounts, but I just don't want to be told what I can or cannot say when it comes to advice, and I do not want to be told where or where I cannot have my money invested in. I still do hold an insurance license in the state I reside in and can easily be licensed in any state I choose to do business in. But because the insurance industry is much less regulated than the securities industry, and definitely not at the federal level, then I'm able to take their thumb off my head. But you know, another reason why I have not been speaking much about financial planning on this podcast is because the economic situation we are currently facing makes me very hesitant to offer anyone any kind of advice, whether it be on a podcast or in person. You know, I hate some of these advisors that are out there and come across very arrogantly, like they know exactly what the market's going to do. There is a saying in our industry that is required to be said to clients: past performance is not an indicator of what is to be expected in the future. And no, I know every financial professional must say this to his or her clients. These people act like they know exactly how your money is going to perform in their accounts, and they often take advantage of the clients because they know that people don't understand the performance charts or the fee breakdowns that are provided in every prospectus. Heck, even being in the industry for as long as I have been, I never wanted to read the fine print, even though it was necessary to know and understand this and to be able to speak truthfully to my clients. And the reality of the situation is that even though there are some very sexy financial products out there in the market, some that offer benefits like stop-loss programs or bonuses for opening accounts, and some that use that forbidden word, guarantee, I just could not look my clients in the eye and give them any kind of certainty about the future. And with inflation rates and money printing higher than at any other time this country has ever seen in the past, and stupid government ideas like taxing unrealized gains for investors, something that would be sure to tear apart the entire stock market, and also increasing rules in the industry, I just thought it best to break loose from that altogether. Besides, there are still some great programs I can help my clients with in insurance world, things like the infinite banking concept, estate planning, and just protection, generally speaking. I have no problems helping my clients putting together a plan to pay off their debts and to reduce their tax obligations. And finally, any investment client I come across, I can easily make a solid recommendation to trusted advisors within my firm, and I'm very happy to do so when that is necessary. Now, I've said all that just to say this. I have been getting some recommendations to have more episodes on this podcast regarding financial freedom, and though I definitely do not want this to be only a financial podcast, I do want to be able to lay out my credibility when I talk about this stuff, so you're not just sitting there wondering why I feel I can offer any kind of advice to you and whether you can trust it. Remember, most of what I'm saying is for general purposes only, but since I know you're all trying to position yourselves to be in a better place, rest assured that I am your ally, and between myself and the guests I invite on in the future, I will do my best to help you achieve that goal. Okay, so today I wanted to expound on an idea I shared with you all on my last solo episode. I was talking about becoming a sole proprietor, whether that be as an independent business owner, a person doing a side hustle like Uber or DoorDash, or if you're involved in a multi-level market or network marketing business, it is important to understand the tax benefits that come with being a sole proprietor. I'm going to read the definition of sole proprietorship, and this comes directly from SBA, the Small Business Administration, SBA.gov. It says, a sole proprietorship is the simplest and most common structure chosen to start a business. It is an unincorporated business owned and run by one individual with no distinction between the business and you, the owner. You are entitled to all profits and are responsible for all your business debts, losses, and liabilities. You do not have to take any formal action to form a sole proprietorship. As long as you are the only owner, this status automatically comes from your business activities. In fact, you may already own one without knowing it. If you are a freelance writer, for example, you are a sole proprietor. Okay, so we've already mentioned there's lots of different ways to become a sole proprietor. And I think that it's important as a business owner, or at least a business-minded person, that you understand the tax laws. You see, a lot of people like this idea of working under the table. In other words, they want to make sure that they do not claim their income to the government because they're always afraid of what the government will tax them. You know, a lot of people in the black market do this, and that's another discussion whether or not the activity that you're involved in is legal or illegal, so to speak. But people usually do things under the table because of tax consequences. And in reality, if you understand the tax law and the benefits you get, as I mentioned on my last program, that you can actually deduct or make deductions for a legal business as a sole proprietor and write them off based on your expenses against your W-2 income. So in reality, you can claim a loss for at least 3 years without claiming any kind of profit. Let me back that up by reading more from this website. It says, because you and your business are one and the same, the business itself is not taxed separately. The sole proprietorship income is your income. But you report income and losses and expenses with a Schedule C and the standard Form 1040. The bottom line amount from Schedule C transfers to your personal tax return. It's your responsibility to withhold and pay all income taxes, including self-employment and estimated taxes. You can find out more information about sole proprietorship, taxes, and other forms at irs.gov. You know, this was one of the hardest things that I wanted to wrap my mind around when I first became self-employed. I had that employee mindset, and I knew that they took my taxes out from every paycheck. So when I actually had to pay taxes at the end of the year, or rather when I noticed that they didn't take any taxes out, I was really concerned about how much I actually had to pay. And when I first learned about this industry, I sat down with a tax professional, and he was going over all kinds of things that were tax deductible, and it just blew my mind. Some of those I'll share with you today. But you know, it's really easy to set up a sole proprietorship. Again, on this website, it says it's easy and inexpensive to form. It's the simplest and least expensive business structure to establish. Costs are minimal. Legal costs limited to obtaining necessary licenses or permits. All right, with that being said, you can have a Schedule C and claim your deductions without the need of hiring a CPA or tax advisor, but I do strongly recommend that at some point you look into hiring somebody, especially when your income gets over a certain point and you have so many deductions that you don't know what is legal and what is not, because you certainly don't want to get yourself in trouble. I can speak a little more freely on this because I did work not only in financial services, but for a CPA and a tax advisor for quite some time while I was working as an advisor. Kind of had two hats at the same time, but I definitely learned a lot about this industry. Now, there are different types of incorporations that you want to be aware of. I'm not going to get into some of the more complicated ones, but there are general partnerships. There are limited liability companies, S corporations, and C corporations. And really the difference between those and being a sole proprietorship is not only tax obligations, but also whether or not you are on the hook for any business liabilities. That is one risk to being a sole proprietor, is that you can be sued and your assets are claimable if you screw anybody over. But one of the things that protects me in my industry is that I do have what's called errors and omissions insurance, which you probably want to get if you are any kind of sole proprietor, especially in the consulting industry. You have some kind of insurance protection against liabilities, or definitely you want to incorporate in different types of situations. But for simplicity's sake, I do want to just go over a few of the things that I learned could be filed on a Schedule C the stuff I use for consulting clients when I actually teach them how to get into the industry as an advisor and a sole proprietor. These are tax tips for Schedule C, things that are deductible. Remember that if you are a sole proprietor, you are going to be required to file with a 1099, often a 1099 MISC or 1099 miscellaneous. This is where your income will be disclosed, and particularly for companies like side hustles like DoorDash and Uber, they're going to provide a form much like this for you, and you're going to disclose the various types of income you receive. There's things like rent or other income. Most of the time, you're going to be looking at line number 7 and 1099. It's going to be non-employee compensation. And then you want to note whether any federal income tax was withheld or state income tax was withheld, because all that's going to have to be disclosed on your Schedule C. All right. Well, starting with the most costly expenses that you're going to have as a sole proprietor, I have a info sheet that I provide to my clients that helps them understand and identify the deductions that they are entitled to. So if you have office expenses, such as renting an office, or if you own a building, you're going to have expenses of rent, and all the utilities that come included are all actually tax deductible. Any kind of supplies that you may have, any kind of technology, including photocopiers or computers or telephones, pretty much anything that you buy that goes in that office is tax deductible. You will have miscellaneous expenses that come with having a business, such as advertising expenses. If you advertise on Facebook, for example, or any other kind of social media, those are all tax deductible. If you purchase business cards, or if you attend any kind of job fair or any trade shows, those things, those expenses are also tax deductible. If you have any kind of licenses, as I mentioned, errors and omissions license is something I have to purchase on a regular basis. If you have any kind of fees for your industry or continuing ed fees, any kind of expenses as far as getting licensing and getting the certificates required to start that business, they are all tax deductible. You are able to deduct your mileage on a regular basis. We talked about this last time. I believe it's 55.5 cents per mile. So you're entitled to go from office to office, and all of that mileage is actually deductible. Now, I do want to throw a caution to the wind here. The government says that you are able to deduct the cost of mileage when you go between offices. What that means is that you must have multiple offices. You cannot deduct the mileage from your home to your place of business. You cannot deduct the commute, the amount of miles it takes to go from home to a client's house. But, and here's a caveat, if you actually have a home office, now anytime you leave the house for any reason regarded or related to business, all that mileage is deductible. So if you go to from your home office to your main office, from your home office to a client's house, it's now considered office to office, and all that is now deductible on your Schedule C. Included in auto expenses are any kind of tolls and parking expenses you have. If you pay interest on an auto loan, all of that is also deductible. Some of the other things that are deductible on a Schedule C are educational expenses for your business. So again, if you attend any kind of seminars or classes, you pay for a subscription that helps you learn more skills or in any way increases your business earning ability, that's all deductible. Any kind of books or audio or visual devices. So if you have an Amazon account, for example, and you order books on a regular basis, they have to be business-related books, but they are deductible. Entertainment, to a certain degree, is also deductible. You know, there are different laws that have come about in recent years. So once again, don't take this for pure advice. But when you take a client out to eat dinner or for lunch or something like that, to an extent that is deductible. Meals paid for clients. Also, any kind of meal that you have on business trips. And as far as business trips go, if you understand that, especially in the digital world that we live in, that you have the capability of creating clients all over the place, You no longer have vacation time. You actually have business trips. And if you do this properly, that you do continue to prospect, maybe grab a business card once in a while just in case. Any type of travel arrangements, whether it be airfare or gas mileage on road trips, any kind of lodging, meals, hotel expenses, all that kind of stuff is also deductible, as now you have business expenses regarding travel. Coming back to home office expenses. Now, this is, the way that you actually get away with claiming a lot more deductions, especially for mileage from office to office if you have a home office. But when you do open a home office, now you're entitled to expenses regarding that home office as compared to your house. What they usually will do is they'll take a total square footage of your entire property, and then they will subtract the square footage of your home office. Some people have in a basement or have a spare bedroom, something like that. They consider a home office in the home. So that may be like 10 to 20% of the total square footage. All expenses related to the house are now deductible minus that percentage of square footage in your home office. So even your mortgage or your rent for that property that you own, subtract 20% of your home office space, that's deductible. Any kind of upgrades that you make to your house, any kind of utility expense, all of them are deductible up to the percentage of square footage that you have on your total property. So having home offices are great for, when you want to put a roof on your house, you can deduct a certain percentage off of that because it is considered an improvement to your home office. Any utilities you have. Things like your cell phone or your internet usage, again, you can use them as business expenses, particularly if you have a line dedicated to business. But of course, if you don't, then you can write off a certain percentage of that total bill, that total utility bill, as a business expense. And finally, if you have any kind of insurance for your business, I mentioned E&O for my industry, any kind of insurance related to liability loss on client's behalf, or even health insurance in some circumstances is also deductible. Again, I want to share this stuff with you because when I first got into business for myself, I was just impressed by all the things that my CPA told me that I could deduct. And I've since learned how to do this stuff myself. But literally, all these expenses could add up to thousands of dollars a year. So, with your mileage and your rent and your equipment and all your other different types of deductions, you're looking at possibly reducing your total income. Again, compared and in addition to your W-2 income for a family, you might be able to deduct thousands of dollars, which will, in the long run, save you on taxes. Once again, you might want to talk to a CPA about what is available to you, but these are just some ideas that I wanted to share. Literally, it's helped me out in many situations. And moving forward, I continue to want to learn more legal deductions out there. Get all these people who are sitting there talking about benefits, tax benefits, and just remember that the tax laws were written by entrepreneurs. And for that reason, they want to continue providing great benefits and deductions, or loopholes, as some people like to call them. Whatever you want to use, these are legal, and I do recommend learning about them because you can potentially save a lot of income tax for your family. All right, so I want to just end with this thought. I see it every single day on social media and just in conversations I hear in public, people complaining about the potential of losing a job, people complaining about the taxes being too high, people complaining about inflation causing everything to be more expensive. And all that stuff is are things to be concerned about. But, we still have a system that if you understand how it works, you can play quite well in the system. Now, I know there are the agorists out there who want to completely escape from the system, and I strongly do not recommend anybody doing anything that is illegal. I mean, you're taking a risk if you are, in the black market selling drugs or something like that. Not that I think that those should be illegal or anything like that, but, don't do things that could potentially land you in trouble. And if you earn any kind of income, understanding the tax laws can greatly benefit you more than not claiming that income altogether. So as we continue going forward, I want to be able to share some more tidbits with you on a regular basis. If there are any CPAs or tax accountants out there that are listening to this podcast and you have any kind of disagreement with what I've been saying, then please feel free to connect with me, and I will make any corrections I need to going forward. But for my purposes, once again, I do want to be able to help people who are interested in learning about financial freedom. And for my solo episodes, I will make them much shorter and just have little tips and tricks that I've learned over the years. And hopefully, if you do your own research and look up all the stuff that I've shared with you, that you too can enjoy some of the privileges of becoming financially independent one day. Because that's the only real freedom you have, is when you actually have the opportunity to come and go as you please, regardless of the cost. And, I really think that having a sound financial platform is one of those things that you need to do. With that being said, I want to wrap it up today. Once again, I wish everyone to fully do the research on anything that I share with you regarding financial freedom. Talk to your tax professionals. Talk to your financial advisors. If you do want to have a conversation with me, I would be more than happy with you. You can connect with me. You can find me at The Invictus Mind on Twitter. You can email me at mwcorbell@gmail.com. I would love to be able to have a conversation with you. If you're looking for financial independence, if you're looking for advice in any way, shape, or form, you can either contact me directly, or I will refer you to one of my advisors that I work with. I've been in services for 15 years. I know people who are experts in this industry. And eventually, I'm going to get my act together and put together a website that will provide you details and access points to all the tools and resources that I have regarding this subject. So, thank you for listening. I appreciate the growing audience that I have. If you like this podcast, please share it with three of your friends and just continue doing the things that you're doing that make sure that you can become unconquerable. We look forward to seeing you again next week, and you have an awesome day.